Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some really great guests lined up. In the first half, we're going to talk to Neelam Toprani about the wisdom of Ayurveda. And in the second half, we're going to talk to Dr. Bill Code about the root causes of MS. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
Americans who get vaccinated against COVID-19 and use a digital health passport to prove it may have an easier time traveling this year and being admitted to things like concerts, sporting events, and museums. With tourism and other economic sectors largely shuttered by the pandemic, countries are eagerly looking at alternatives to travel restrictions and quarantine to safely reopen their borders. Cyprus last month became the first European Union member state to announce it would open its borders in March to vaccinated travelers. Those travelers would not need to show proof of a negative COVID-19 test. The announcement is part of a plan by Cyprus to resume flights to the country, which relies heavily on tourism. The Centers for Disease Control is urging Americans to double down on precautions to thwart the spread of the coronavirus as the new B.1.1.7 superstrain takes hold in the U.S. New CDC modeling shows the new strain could cause more than half of new infections in the country by March, even as the U.S. races to deploy vaccines. Study author Michael Johansson said it's not necessarily what's going to happen everywhere, but this is the kind of path that we expect to see. He is a member of the CDC's COVID-19 response team. The new strain has key gene changes to its spike protein that help the virus pass more easily from person to person. It is estimated to be about 50% more contagious than the main versions of the coronavirus circulating now. Two types of air pollution declined in cities around the world during initial COVID-19 lockdowns, but one type increased, a new study finds. Researchers assessed changes in levels of nitrogen dioxide, ozone, and fine particulate air pollution during lockdowns in 11 cities: Beijing and Wuhan in China, Milan, Rome, Madrid, London, Paris, Berlin, New York, Los Angeles, and Delhi, India. After accounting for weather effects, the researchers found that reductions in nitrogen dioxide were smaller than anticipated, while ozone concentrations rose. The findings were published January 13th in the journal Science Advances. Brain drain. Arguing with others puts a lot more strain on your brain than agreeing with them, a new study finds. Senior author Joy Hirsch says our entire brain is a social processing network. However, it just takes a lot more brain real estate to disagree than to agree. She's a professor of psychiatry, comparative medicine, and neuroscience at Yale University. The researchers from Yale and University College London asked 38 adults whether they agreed or disagreed with a series of potentially contentious statements, such as same-sex marriage is a civil right or marijuana should be legalized. Researchers then monitored their participants' brain activity when they were paired up and had face-to-face discussions about the topics. The study was published January 13th in the journal Frontiers of Human Neuroscience.
Well, I guess we have to thank Alan for that news. And our first guest up today is Neelam Toprani with the Wisdom of Ayurveda. So welcome, Neelam.
Hi, Kathy. This is Neelam Toprani from Sevanti. Namaste to all our listeners.
Yeah.
It's my pleasure to talk about Ayurveda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ayurveda is my passion and purpose of my life, and I'm so excited to share something of my experience.
This is excellent. You know, here in the West, people are just starting to understand that word a little bit and maybe learn how to spell it.
Make it very simple.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce, like, it's Ayurveda, but like I say, I and your and Veda. Ayurveda.
Uh-huh.
So Ayurveda is a divine science of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's thousands of years, 5,000 years old system of medicine. It is one of the oldest system of medicine, like a complete medicine on the planet. So Ayurveda is recognized as the first complete. So like there are 8 branches of Ayurveda. So it's very similar to what the Western medicine is. Similarly, for thousands of years, Ayurveda has been a complete medicine on the planet. And the way it works is the health of the body is depending on the 3 psychophysiological principles, so like a dosha. So Western medicine considers like every person is the same. Like one medicine, Tylenol, would be given to every single person, you know. Mm-hmm. But like Ayurveda doesn't go like that. It goes, it understands that each person is different. And so how a herb or a medicine or an oil or even a food is suggested would be different for, so it's very individualized medicine.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain those doshas a little bit, how you're looking at people to break, yes, break up, yes, the doshas?
So there are three doshas.
Mm-hmm.
Vata, Pitta, and the Kapha. Mm-hmm. So Vata is the one that moves. So whatever moves within our body, so what moves within the body, it's based on the element. So Vata represents air and ether in the body. So whatever, like, say, our respiration, our movement of the blood, the movement of the nutrient, movement in the thoughts and processes, inhalation, exhalation. So those activities where there is a movement, the Vata principle applies to there.
Okay.
So the one, like our thoughts, you know, our mind is racing, you know, with the different thoughts. Mm-hmm. So when there is an element of air increases in the body, then there is a Vata, increase of Vata. The same way the Pitta is a principle of heating, whatever heats in the body. The literal meaning is one that heats. So what is heating inside the body? It's a principle of light. So Pitta is mainly digestion, assimilation, like enzymic activity within the body. That's the Pitta. Mm-hmm. So when the Pitta is, and also the light. So what we see, what we perceive, like a spark, you know, like whether it's a spark of imagination,
mm-hmm,
or whether there is a heat in the belly, they all work on the same principle of Pitta.
Okay.
So Pitta is the heating, assimilation, absorption of the nutrient.
Mm-hmm.
Vata is the one that moves. The Pitta is the one that digests. And the Kapha is based on, the literal meaning is one that flowers, one that grows, one that expands within the body.
Mm-hmm.
So the Kapha is strengthening of the body, the tissue. So like how the nourishment reaches our bones and tissues and muscles and blood. Mm-hmm. So all that is the Kapha, principle of Kapha, the fat.
So Neelam, you used the word cycles of doshas. Does that mean we're all kind of cycling through all of these, or that we have dominant doshas that...
Yes. So everyone has all those things, Vata, Pitta, Kapha. Everyone has that. But the one that is predominant makes the predominant dosha.
Mm-hmm.
And also another thing is the age of the person. So for example, people, like for example, in the population, the children, for example, they have more Kapha in nature, like a softness and the growth and all those aspects. So the Kapha related issues, mm-hmm, are more during for the little children, you know, up till age of 8, 7, 8, you know, they are in the Kapha stage.
Okay.
And then they grow, and then the youth, you know, especially from, say, 14, 15, you know, to about 35, about that age is the Pitta time, when there is a Pitta is heating, so it's more like a focus and energy and the work and, you know, those kind of things. So mm-hmm, that's more Pitta when the activity, when the mind is active, there's a body, there's a heat in the body, and there the Pitta disorders are like irritations and anger and internal inflammation. So those things, they happen, mm-hmm, when it's in the youth, like in the, for the babies, like mostly you see congestion, you know, like little babies always they have congestion and the excess of sperm and all those, you know, heaviness and cold and those things happen to the little children. But as we age, then there is a dryness in the body. And so that is the Vata type. So people after a certain age, especially after 40s and things like that, our body starts to get a little dry and we become more sensitive and we have weakness in the muscles and bones and things like that. So that is the Vata period in a person's life. So irrespective of what is your prominent dosha, age is a very important factor in determining the dosha. And the other thing is the season. So season is like when, like right now it's cold. So again, the nature makes everything drying and things like that. And aches and pains and stuff like that happens in the colder weather.
So is this a Vata time then?
We see the individual, but we have to see the age of the person. Mm-hmm. Then we see the, what is the season right now.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things, you know. So just like knowing the dosha, that is not very helpful. Because like you people, they see, for example, on many websites, you know, and there are quiz saying that you do this calculation, okay, you are Vata, you are Pitta, you are Kapha. But that, I would compare that to a horoscope, you know, which you see in the newspaper magazines, like, okay, you are Libra and you are Aries and this is going to be. So it's that general. By determining Vata Pitta Kapha on a quiz, that would be, you know. Once, when you have a health issue, you need better understanding. So Ayurveda is about awareness of the self. So you have to know what is happening to you. And that brings you closer to what Ayurveda, you know, wants to teach you.
So it's really about teaching and understanding what's going on in
our own issues, you know, so whether you have a dryness in the skin, you have, how is your mental activity, what is your, how is your digestion, how is your elimination. So Ayurveda would, or Ayurvedic practitioner for that matter, there are 10 kinds of tests we do, you know, so physically, we do visually, we touch and feel a person, and then find out, you know, what are the mental activities of a person, the sleep, the food, and all that makes, you know, brings understanding of the present health issue a person is, you know, facing. So one very good thing about Ayurveda, like I was told that, you know, people would like to understand what the, about massage oil. So I have a great faith, you know, and experience with massage oil. Like I had health issues, you know, many, many years ago, and I healed myself, you know, with the massage oils. And that's why I am a firm believer in massage oils. So some very interesting part of, you know, Ayurvedic massage is, the word massage in Ayurveda, in Sanskrit language, is called sneha. Sneha means to love. So the properties of love and properties of oil, they are similar, very similar.
Warm and moist.
Yeah, warm, moist, nourishing, you know, strengthening. So whatever the love does to us, the same way the oil. And so in Ayurveda, you say, you offer an oil massage means you give yourself a sneha, give yourself love, and you receive love.
Beautiful. Neelam, hold that thought. We're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about oil massage, the benefits, and how to choose the oils.